Hello, everyone. My name is David, and I'm a university biology student. I'm here today to talk to you about my recent field project studying wildlife, specifically looking at bat behaviour. Most people automatically think of deep caves or dark ancient forests when they imagine bat habitats. We originally considered setting up our base in a local cave system, which is well known in the area, but we actually conducted our research at a ruined castle just a few miles outside the city. It turned out to be the absolute perfect environment for them, offering plenty of safe places to roost. Now, observing these creatures is tricky because they operate in the dark. Because humans cannot naturally hear the echolocation calls bats employ for spatial navigation, we utilize a device known as a bat detector to render them audible. Basically, bats emit sounds at very high frequencies, which the detector then translates into a pitch that the human ear can perceive. I initially assumed it would sound quite melodic, maybe a bit like birdsong, but it's actually more like a rapid series of sharp clicks. It takes a bit of getting used to.
We had planned our observation nights meticulously, but as is typical in this country, the elements were against us. We fully expected freezing temperatures to be our main obstacle, but it was actually the heavy rain that almost forced us to cancel the trip entirely. Fortunately, it cleared up just in time for us to get to work.
In order to safely catch the bats, so we could attach tiny tracking tacks, we had to be very careful. We certainly couldn't use wooden traps like you might for capturing small rodents or birds. Instead, we erected a fine net across the bats' main flight paths between the trees. It's incredibly delicate and is designed so it doesn't harm the animals at all.
Once we safely caught a bat, we had to work efficiently to minimize its stress. We weighed each one, but the most crucial piece of data for our specific study was the length of the wing, because it helps us accurately determine the age and overall health of the animal. I had expected measuring their tiny ears to be the hardest part of the process, but they were actually quite cooperative.
Our study also looked into their feeding habits. We naturally assumed these local bats were sustaining themselves on a huge amount of mosquitoes and moths, which are plentiful around the castle. However, we were utterly amazed to discover traces of fruit in their diet. We really hadn't realized this particular species was eating anything other than insects in this region. One major factor affecting the bats' hunting habits was human activity. We'd hypothesized that traffic noise from the nearby motorway would be the main issue, disrupting their echolocation. In reality, it was actually the streetlights that were confusing them and altering their natural flight paths towards their hunting grounds.
During our time there, we interacted a lot with the local community. I was secretly worried they might be afraid of the bats or consider them pests, but the farmers were incredibly supportive, as they know bats help control insect populations that can destroy crops. The local shopkeepers were also quite interested in what we were doing, though less directly involved.
We also had some unexpected volunteers. A group of local teenagers came down to the site one evening. I must admit, I thought they might be looking for a place to hang out and perhaps cause a bit of trouble, but they were genuinely fascinated by the bat detectors and asked some absolutely brilliant questions.
Now that the field work is completely wrapped up, we are busy compiling our data. We are hoping to publish our full findings in a scientific journal eventually, but first we are launching a website next month to share our recordings and photos with the general public. Thank you very much for listening, and I hope you found it interesting.